We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Away we go, episode 813 of the Al Galdi podcast. It is Thursday, April 25th, 2024. It is the day of the first round of the 2024 NFL draft. It is the day on which the Commanders will do whatever it is that they are going to do with their number two overall pick in the 2024 NFL Draft. We have arrived at the moment, the final destination, the main event, the grand finale, the last hurrah, the coup de grace. Call it what you want, but what this is one of the most single important days in the history of the team that began as the Boston Braves, then became the Boston Redskins, then became the Washington Redskins, then became the Washington football team, and now is the Washington Commanders. If the Commanders hit on this number two overall pick in the 2024 draft, an avalanche of good things will almost certainly happen for our team. And if the Commanders miss on this number two overall pick in the 2024 draft, a whole lot of people could be out of jobs sooner rather than later. Hello and welcome to this Thursday installment of the Al Galdi podcast. This day of Thursday, April 25th, also is my wife's birthday. What should I do on Thursday night? Celebrate her birthday or take in the first round of this most important 2024 draft for our football team? That is a tough question. Almost as tough as the quarterback question. LSU's Jaden Daniels versus North Carolina's Drake May versus Michigan's J.J. McCarthy. The great quarterback debate in terms of the Commanders' decision with this number two overall pick reaches a crescendo on Thursday night. Are the Commanders going to take Jaden Daniels, as so many expect? From NFL insider Diana Rossini of The Athletic in a post on X on Wednesday morning, quote, "Jaden Daniels was given a high grade by many teams. While the QB is cool with Washington, I'm told in his dream world, he would reunite with Raiders coach Antonio Pierce, who was an assistant coach at Arizona State when he was a Sun Devil, or play under Kevin O'Connell in Minnesota," end quote. Now, Daniels, in a session with reporters on Wednesday morning at an event in the Detroit area, did say that he'd be totally fine with being drafted by the Commanders. There has been a lot of noise regarding Daniels in recent days, but does any of it mean anything? Are the Commanders on Thursday night gonna take Drake May? Might the Commanders on Thursday night take J.J. McCarthy? Might the Commanders on Thursday night surprise everyone and trade down? What if the Chicago Bears shock the world and do not take USC quarterback Caleb Williams with the number one overall pick. And he falls to the Commanders at two. You never know what might happen in an NFL draft. But one thing that we do know is that the pressure on Commanders general manager Adam Peters to get this decision right is enormous. It was on February 27th that Peters, in a press conference at the 2024 NFL Scouting Combine in Indianapolis, said, quote, "Now I gotta find a new quarterback," end quote. Do you remember that? Here you go.
Now I gotta find a new quarterback.
Yeah, now I gotta find a new quarterback. Well, now has arrived. Next segment, I will give to you three major final thoughts before the Commanders' number two overall pick in the 2024 NFL Draft. We, over the last few months on this podcast, have had so many guests with whom we have discussed the Commanders' quarterback decision, but this final episode of the podcast before the decision is simply you and me with one last heart-to-heart conversation about our team's ultra-important decision. Also, on the show, I'll talk Nationals and Orioles. The Nats and Does had mixed results against the city of Los Angeles on Wednesday. The Nats got routed by the Los Angeles Dodgers 11-2 at Nationals Park on Wednesday evening as starting pitcher Jake Irvin allowed 6 runs in 4 2/3 innings, and the Nats went 0 for their last 22, but the O's won at the Los Angeles Angels 6-5 on Wednesday to conclude a 4-2 road trip. Now, the O's did allow a 6-0 six-inning lead to get whittled down to 6-5 in the bottom of the ninth, but the O's won as shortstop Gunnar Henderson was outstanding, 3-for-3 with a solo homer, a double, a two-run single, 2 hit-by-pitches, and a stolen base, and he made a key defensive play. You can hit me up on X at Al Galdi. You can email me the Al Galdi podcast at yahoo.com. Email from Joel Charney on Commanders general manager Adam Peters and what the Commanders are going to do with their number two overall pick in the 2024 draft. Writes Joel, "Hi Al, thanks for your exhaustive coverage of the draft. I think that you've consulted every major draft analyst in the country over the past 3 months. You must feel like Thursday evening at 8:30 or so cannot come soon enough. Regarding what the Commanders will do, rather than what they should do, what strikes me is that literally no one can actually say that they are quoting an internal commander source. Huge props to Adam Peters and company for running such a tight ship. I'm going to be contrarian and say that the Commanders are going to take Drake May after all. Given that no one has a real inside source, the draft gurus are making too much of the Cliff Kingsbury needs a mobile quarterback take. I'm thinking of Josh Harris and the process. Build piece by piece for the long term. To me, that suggests Drake May because he's much younger than Jaden Daniels, has a body built for the long haul, can make all of the throws, and has flaws that can be corrected by good coaching. Of course, I have nothing whatsoever at stake in making this prediction, and I realize that I'm contradicting even the great Ben Standing, but that's my read. Have fun over the next few days. P.S. Just want to be clear for my own credibility that I wrote this before listening to the Grinding the Mox guy. Thank you for that email, Joel. Yes, Benjamin Robinson, creator of the groundbreaking and innovative website Grinding the Mox. He joined us on Tuesday's show, episode 811. So many people now are projecting the Commanders to take Jaden Daniels at two. Perhaps that is rooted in sound intel, but I do wonder if that is more rooted in what we like to call groupthink, i.e. everyone else is saying this, so I better say this. Because to Joel's point, the basis for so many people projecting the Commanders to take Jaden Daniels at two is not sources within the Commanders, at least not if you go by what is being said by reporters. No, the basis for so many people projecting the Commanders to take Jaden Daniels at two is a reading of supposed signs and an acceptance of the narrative from NFL people that Jaden Daniels is the superior prospect in comparison to Drake May and J.J. McCarthy. And Daniels may well be the superior prospect in comparison to May and McCarthy. Although what has become really interesting to me, and we've seen this with the many NFL draft guests on this podcast, is the divide between analytics people and more traditional scouting slash NFL people. Now, the divide is not 100%, but what really seems to be the case is that analytics people prefer Drake May, and the more traditional scouting slash NFL people prefer Jaden Daniels. Email from Gerald Hughes on the Commanders, writes Jerry. I just wanted to thank you for the group therapy sessions that you provided for DC football fans in episodes 808 and 809. While you may have been thinking that you, in these episodes, were just relating current Commanders news, your commentary on several topics regarding the team also provided us with some therapeutic relief from the trauma that all of us have dealt with for the past 25 years when supporting the team. Let me explain. In episode 808, when you were relaying your thoughts about Magic Johnson's push to hire Bill Belichick, I flash back to the Dan Snyder era. I could see Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Dan introducing Belichick as Commanders head coach on February 2nd, Groundhog Day, in front of the three Super Bowl trophies. Thankfully, your commentary brought me back to the reality of the present, where there now is a competent owner who resists the urge to make a celebrity hiring. Love Magic Johnson, but he needs to stay in his lane and stick with tweeting obvious recaps of Commanders games. In episode 809, when you were relaying the highlights of the press conference of Adam Peters and Lance Newmark, and were noting the great chemistry that those guys have, it provided great comfort to hear those words after experiencing the short-lived Bruce Allen and Scott McLuhan rocky relationship from 2015 to 2017. Instead of collaborating with his general manager, Allen seemed to undercut the GM at every turn because Allen felt that McLuhan was stealing Allen's thunder. What a breath of fresh air it is to see Peters and Newmark working together to make our team the best it can be. Well, as you say, there are no guarantees of how this will turn out. I think that we can confidently say that so far, the decisions that will be made about this team will not be based on satisfying the egos of those making those decisions. Thanks again for helping us get through our PTSD of living through the Snyder era. You should give yourself a raise for being both a sports podcaster and therapist. Look forward to listening to upcoming episodes covering this critical 2024 draft for our football team. All the best, Jerry. P.S. You said that you wanted the Commanders to take Drake May at number two, an opinion I share for most of the reasons that you have stated. But if you believe the so-called experts, it appears that the team is going to go with Jaden Daniels. Are you planning to exercise the right to change your mind, or are you staying with May? Thank you very much for the email, Jerry. I shall answer that question next segment. But yes, we as Commanders fans have all grappled with what I will call PTD-SSD. PTD-SSD. Post-traumatic Dan Snyder stress disorder. PTD-SSD. Rolls right off the tongue, doesn't it? But I don't blame anyone for having PTD-SSD. That said, we must do all that we can to combat PTD-SSD. And if you are planning a big event, catering by Uptown will do all that it can to make your event a great success. Catering by Uptown. It is the best catering service in the DMV. Visit cateringbyuptown.com and make sure that you mention that Al Galdi sent you. If you are planning a wedding, a party, a corporate event, whatever, you want great service, but you also want a great price. Well, Catering by Uptown provides both. Catering by Uptown is a family business, and it specializes in handling everything so that you don't have to. Catering by Uptown understands that special events deserve to be celebrated in style. Catering by Uptown takes care of every detail so that you can enjoy your event. From putting together and executing a venue, to picking linens, to selecting an excellent florist, Catering by Uptown is committed to meeting your needs and exceeding your expectations. Great service, amazing cuisine, and reliability are the foundation of what makes Catering by Uptown one of the most referred caterers throughout Maryland, Washington, D.C., and Northern Virginia. Visit cateringbyuptown.com and make sure that you mention that Al Galdi sent you. That's cateringbyuptown.com and make sure that you mention that Al Galdi sent you.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, please consider following the podcast if you're not already doing that. Following the podcast is free. If you have an iPhone, you can follow the podcast simply by tapping the plus sign in the upper right corner on the page listing the recent episodes of the podcast. The Commanders on Thursday night will be executing some kind of action with a number 2 overall pick in an NFL draft for a third time in 13 years. The Redskins in March 2012 traded up from 6 to 2, and the following month took quarterback Robert Griffin III with the number 2 overall pick in the 2012 NFL draft. The Skins in April 2020 took edge defender Chase Young with the number 2 overall pick in the 2020 NFL draft. Neither guy ultimately was a hit, although interestingly, each guy won Associated Press Rookie of the Year in some form, right? RG3 won AP Offensive Rookie of the Year for the 2012 season. Chase won AP Defensive Rookie of the Year for the 2020 season. Pretty remarkable when you think about that, right? Each guy won Associated Press Rookie of the Year in some form, and yet neither guy ultimately worked out here. But here we are with the Commanders having the number 2 overall pick in the 2024 NFL draft, a draft that is perceived, and I stress that word, perceived, to be a good draft for quarterbacks. And it just so happens that the Commanders are in dire need of a quarterback. The expectation for weeks has been that the Commanders in the first round of the 2024 draft will be choosing between LSU quarterback Jaden Daniels, North Carolina quarterback Drake May, and Michigan quarterback J.J. McCarthy. The widespread expectation has become that the Commanders are going to take Daniels. The betting market for what the Commanders do with the number 2 overall pick has fluctuated wildly, but as of Wednesday, had settled right back into Daniels being the prohibitive favorite to be taken at 2. There is no overstating the importance of this number 2 overall pick. We all have our opinions on what the Commanders should and will do at 2. I now present to you my three final thoughts before the Commanders' number two overall pick in the 2024 NFL Draft. I now shall speak now and then forever hold my peace. Final thought before the Commanders' number two overall pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, number one. I do still want the Commanders to take North Carolina quarterback Drake May. I have preferred that the Commanders take May at two for months now, and I have said that I reserved the right to change that stance, but I'm not changing that stance simply because I've had that stance reinforced by research and by a variety of conversations with people. Now, that doesn't mean that I don't like Jaden Daniels or J.J. McCarthy. I do like Jaden Daniels and J.J. McCarthy. I like them very much. I just like Drake May the most. Preferring one of these quarterbacks over the other two is not hating on the other two. You know, there is a sensitivity, a softness that I've seen from some people in this Commanders quarterback conversation. None of this is personal. All of this is about the Commanders getting the decision right. And so there needs to be a scrutiny that is applied to these quarterbacks that results in differentiating between them on the margins. Think about it like deciding who is the best player in NBA history. I personally think that the best player in NBA history is Wizards all-time great Michael Jordan, who I think may have played for another team. I'm not sure. But seriously, I personally think that the best player in NBA history is Michael Jordan. That doesn't mean that I think that, say, Bill Russell was terrible or that LeBron James is awful. That just means that I think that MJ is the best ever. Out of a group of great, I think that MJ is the best. Out of this group of realistically available quarterbacks for the Commanders at two in an NFL draft with a lot of appealing quarterbacks, I like Drake May the best. Drake May is young. He's just 21. He was born in August 2002. He has a lot of time and room to reach his potential, which is immense. He has very good size for an NFL quarterback. May, on March 2nd at the 2024 NFL Scouting Combine in Indianapolis, measured as being 6'4 and 3/8 of an inch and 223 pounds. Drake May is athletic. He is a run threat. Drake May has a cannon for an arm. Drake May is a big playmaking machine. He, over the last two seasons, had 79 big-time throws for Pro Football Focus, by far the most of any quarterback in this quarterback class, and he did this with an inferior supporting cast. If you study the quarterbacks in the 2024 NFL draft through the prism of PFF's stable metrics, which are metrics for stable situations and have been shown to be predictive, Drake May is the best quarterback in this draft class. Now, I don't personally have May as my QB1. I do have USC's Caleb Williams as the QB1, but this stable metrics prism is a really interesting exercise. Pro Football Focus fantasy football analyst John Macri, he wrote a PFF.com piece that came out on February 14th. Macri in the piece analyzed how the 15 quarterbacks on PFF's big board for the 2024 NFL draft compared in PFF's stable metrics over the last two college football seasons. There were six stable metrics that were utilized. They were PFF passing grade from clean pockets, PFF passing grade on straight dropbacks, PFF passing grade on first and second downs, PFF passing grade with no play action, PFF passing grade on pass attempts beyond the sticks, and percentage of negatively graded plays by PFF. The number one quarterback out of the 15 quarterbacks on PFF's big board for the 2024 NFL draft in terms of these six stable metrics over the 2022 and 2023 seasons was Drake May. Now, Jaden Daniels was number three. That's terrific. J.J. McCarthy was number eight, but May was number one. There's a lot more that I could throw at you, but you get the idea. Now, like I said, there is a lot to like with Jaden Daniels and J.J. McCarthy. Daniels in his collegiate career demonstrated remarkable improvement, which shows you that this guy is a hard worker and takes football seriously. I love that about Jaden Daniels. He is an exceptional deep ball thrower. His throwing mechanics blow away Drake Mays. Okay, I'm a Drake May guy. I have to concede that. Daniels' mechanics blow away Mays, and Jaden Daniels has elite mobility. J.J. McCarthy, he has a very strong arm. He has underrated athleticism. He was outstanding for Michigan on third downs this past season, and J.J. McCarthy is the best out of himself, May, and Daniels in terms of sack avoidance. That's a big deal. And as for sacks, yes, that is a reason that I prefer Drake May over Jaden Daniels. This issue of pressure to sack rate, which we have talked about so much, this issue to me is real. Pro Football Focus's pressure to sack rate, the percentage of a quarterback's pressured dropbacks that result in sacks. Jaden Daniels has the seventh worst career pressure to sack rate out of 116 quarterback prospects for the 2016 through 2024 NFL drafts. Daniels' career pressure to sack rate is 24.5%. For comparison's sake, the career pressure to sack rate of now former Commanders quarterback Sam Howell in his collegiate career was 26.7. And we this past season saw how telling that stat was with how often Sam got sacked. Pressure to sack rate is what we call a sticky metric. It tends to stick with a quarterback from college to the NFL. And the pushback of, well, Jaden Daniels is a mobile quarterback, and a lot of the sacks that he took in college were scramble sacks for minimal yardage losses. Yes, there certainly is some truth in that. But A, his career pressure to sack rate isn't just kind of bad, it's really bad. Again, the seventh worst career pressure to sack rate out of 116 quarterback prospects for the 2016 through 2024 NFL drafts. And B, those scramble sacks in college might be more conventional sacks in the NFL, given that players in the NFL are bigger, stronger, faster than players in college. So I do not dismiss the pressure to sack rate thing with Jaden Daniels, although it is encouraging that his pressure to sack rate for just the 2023 season was better, 20.2. And look, it's not like Drake May's career pressure to sack rate is great, 18.9. I also worry about Jaden Daniels as an injury risk. He has a reckless running style that, in conjunction with his thin frame, makes him an injury risk in the NFL. Doesn't guarantee that he'll be injury prone in the NFL. I certainly hope that Daniels is not injury prone in the NFL, but I don't know how you don't worry about that. Daniels on March 2nd at the Combine declined to be measured. Why? Was he sensitive about his weight? Daniels at the 2024 LSU Pro Day measured as being 210 pounds. He certainly could not have been sensitive about his height. I mean, Daniels at that LSU Pro Day measured as being a very nice 6'3 and 5/8 of an inch. So all of this is part of why I do prefer Drake May for the Commanders at 2. Now, there are concerns with May. Principal among them, the mechanics, which have resulted in a lot of misses on what should be easy throws. I want you to take a listen to something. This is from a guy who I really respect, ESPN NFL analyst Dan Orlovsky, who is a big Jaden Daniels fan, okay? But this was Dan Orlovsky on ESPN's NFL Live this week.
Like, that's what's different for me in the Jaden Drake May conversation. Because if you're Washington, right, and I love Drake May's talent, but if you're Washington and you take Drake May, I think there's two things that need to be paramount. Number one, you better have the right people in that building to develop him, because he is going to need really good hard coaching development-wise. And then two, you better be patient with the coaching staff and front office regime. And that's abnormal. And here's my thing. I've talked about this with Drake May and the mechanical issues, his feet. If you look at since 2017, some of the quarterbacks that have been drafted that did have mechanical flaws, Zach Wilson's lower half, Sam Darnold, lower half, Mitchell Trubisky, lower half, Justin Fields, his little bit of his throwing motion. Patrick was a little bit of a case study in, man, this freestyle play. All of those guys struggled except for two, Josh and Patrick. Patrick barely played his rookie year. He played in week 17. And then Josh, while he played more than 10 games, also struggled as a rookie. The point is this. You can't take, I just talked about it with Zach. You can't take these young, talented, but mechanically flawed quarterbacks and just play them right away, because the data isn't just, well, young quarterbacks struggle. No, it's the young quarterbacks that are mechanically flawed that struggle early on and more often than not fail in the NFL. That's if Washington, that's where I get hesitant with Drake May, because I would expect them to want to get Drake May on the field sooner than he's really ready for it.
All right, very interesting stuff from Dan Orlovsky on Drake May. I am a Drake May fan, but I admit that what Orlovsky talked about right there is worth considering. However, I view the concerns with Drake May as less concerning than the concerns with Jaden Daniels. I view the problems with Drake May as more fixable than the problems with Jaden Daniels. That's not to say that Daniels' problems cannot be fixed, but I think that May's problems are more fixable. And when it comes to J.J. McCarthy, look, I see a lot of unknown with McCarthy. Preferring McCarthy over May and Daniels means that you're buying into McCarthy's upside, which McCarthy most certainly has. He is so young. He is 21, but he was born in January 2003, so he is really young. There is an unknown with McCarthy, and that can be framed as a good thing or a bad thing, depending on your perspective, but McCarthy did not have nearly as many pass attempts in college as May and Daniels had. McCarthy, over two seasons as Michigan's QB1, 2022 and 2023, had just 654 pass attempts. Drake May, over two seasons as UNC's QB1, had 942 pass attempts. Jaden Daniels, over two seasons as LSU's QB1, had 715 pass attempts. Hey, if you enjoy this podcast, check out BGO Blind Pig, the official podcast of BGObsession.com. BGO Blind Pig is a roundtable discussion of all things Washington Commanders football, and of course, there is quite a bit to be discussing right now. Lots of good and passionate Commanders conversation from Commanders fans who know the team well. You can find the BGO Blind Pig podcast on YouTube, on Apple Podcasts, or on any major podcast provider. Make BGObsession.com the home for your burgundy and gold obsession, and make the BGO Blind Pig podcast one of your weekly DC football listens. Final thought before the Commanders' number two overall pick in the 2024 NFL Draft. Number two, I will be excited by whatever the Commanders do at two. There are three reasons for this. A, as I just said, I like plenty about Drake May, Jaden Daniels, and J.J. McCarthy. B, I view each guy as having very high upside. Yes, I prefer May, but I don't agree with this idea that his ceiling is appreciably higher than Jaden Daniels or J.J. McCarthy's. May, Daniels, and McCarthy all have sky-high ceilings. That's a big part of why this is such a debate. Whomever the Commanders take will have superstar potential. And C, because of who is making this quarterback decision for the Commanders, there is an instant credibility that the decision will have. Commanders General Manager Adam Peters, Commanders Assistant General Manager Lance Newmark. They are arguably the top two forces in this decision on what the Commanders do at two. Peters is number one. It is debatable who number two is, but number two certainly could be Newmark. The top reason that Peters and Newmark are with the Commanders is NFL draft acumen. Peters, as an executive with the San Francisco 49ers, was a big part of some wildly successful drafts in recent years. Newmark, as an executive with the Detroit Lions, was a big part of some very good drafts in recent years. So let's hone in on Jaden Daniels. As I said, I have concerns about Daniels. But if the Commanders take Daniels at two, then that's a sign that Peters and Newmark do not view the concerns that I, and that I know many of you have, as being as concerning as we think. And if Peters and Newmark feel that way, then I do feel better about the Commanders taking Daniels at two. Peters and Newmark are not all-knowing, okay? At least I don't think that they are. But they get a benefit of the doubt with whatever they do, because each guy has been a big part of something that Washington has not had in way too long. A consistent run of strong NFL drafts. And final thought before the Commanders' number two overall pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, number three. Thank goodness the Commanders wound up with this number two overall pick, as opposed to having notched a meaningless win or two down the stretch of the 2023 regular season. I am not big on telling Washington fans how to be fans. We as fans of our team have been through so much over just the last 4 years, to say nothing of the last, 30 years. What we need is more unity, more good feeling, not more division. So to me, however you want to be a Washington fan, knock yourself out. That said, I never agreed with the sentiment late last season of rooting for meaningless NFL draft position harming wins for the Commanders. I, on this podcast, openly conded Operation Loseout, by which I, despite being a lifelong fan of the team, strongly advocated for the Commanders to lose out. And of course they did. They lost each of their final eight games in the 2023 regular season and wound up with the number two overall pick in the 2024 NFL Draft. If you were among those who wanted the Commanders to win down the stretch of what was clearly a lost 2023 season, tell me right now and be honest, do you still wish that the team had won down the stretch of last season? Like, would the team having won any of those games made your fandom, your life, appreciably better in any way? And if the answer is yes, so be it. Again, I'm not here to tell you how to be a fan of the team, but from my perspective, the team is so much better off having lost out and having gotten this number two overall pick, by which the team can have its pick of presumably all but one quarterback in this perceived to be quarterback rich 2024 NFL draft. USC quarterback Caleb Williams is almost certainly going to the Chicago Bears via their number one overall pick. But after him, the Commanders have their pick of every other quarterback. That doesn't guarantee anything. I get that. But that is a beautiful thing. That is so much better than the Commanders having notched some meaningless, pointless win, you know, at the New York Jets or over the Dallas Cowboys at what was then FedEx Field in the closing weeks of the 2023 regular season. And by the way, a shout out to Greg Zuerlein, a.k.a. Greg the Leg. Do not forget the contribution of Greg the Leg. Take you back to this past Christmas Eve afternoon. The Commanders' 30-28 loss at the Jets, a game in which the Commanders overcame a 27-7 halftime deficit, but then came Greg the Leg. The Jets' final offensive drive began with the Commanders holding a 28-27 lead with 1:41 left in the fourth quarter. Our Commanders' oh-so-terrible defense allowed the Jets to put together an 8-play, 31-yard drive that resulted in kicker Greg Zuerlein's 54-yard field goal for a 30-28 Jets lead with 5 seconds left in the fourth quarter. A very key moment in our team getting the number two overall pick in the 2024 NFL Draft. And now, the team just has to get the pick right. Well, if you are a Commanders fan, of course, make sure that you're listening to this podcast. And if you're on Instagram, make sure that you're following at WSH on the Daily. WSH on the Daily just started in 2021 and yet has nearly 27,000 followers. The page is growing at a rapid rate, and the page is what its title suggests, daily. The page is updated every day. News, notes, reports, photos, graphics, all having to do with the Commanders. WSH on the Daily is a page that properly sources and vets its news and information, doesn't just post anything that anyone says. WSH on the Daily responds to every single DM. WSH on the Daily is a page at which you can have fun. And WSH on the Daily always has a great fresh look. If you are on Instagram, check out at WSH on the Daily. And check out at WSH on the Daily's online shop, WSHonthedaily.com. Some outstanding gear, shirts, hoodies, excellent material, modern looks. So for smart, informative, fun, and engaging Commanders content, check out at WSH on the Daily on Instagram. And for great merch, visit WSHonthedaily.com. Well, the rebuilding Nationals have been competitive in the majority of their games in this 2024 MLB regular season, but the Nats in their game on Wednesday evening were not competitive. An 11-2 loss to the Los Angeles Dodgers at Nationals Park on Wednesday evening in Game 2 of a three-game series. The Nats fell to 10-13. The Nats in this game went 0-0 for their last 22. So the offense certainly was a problem, but the biggest takeaway for me from this game was the Nats starting pitcher, Jake Irvin. Now, he and his last start, which also was against the Dodgers, was really good. Irvin in a Nats 2-0 win at the Dodgers the previous Wednesday, April 17th, tossed six scoreless innings with six strikeouts. But Irvin in this 11-2 loss to the Dodgers at Nationals Park on Wednesday evening got hammered. He allowed six runs in 4 2/3 innings. He gave up a whopping 12 hits, which were comprised of five doubles and seven singles. And he got hit really hard. Seven of the hits that he allowed each had an exit velocity of at least 99.7 miles per hour per Statcast. Irvin issued one walk. He recorded three strikeouts. He, over his mere 4 2/3 innings, threw a staggering 103 pitches, 66 strikes versus 37 balls. Compare that with what Irvin did in tossing the six scoreless innings in the 2-0 win at the Dodgers the previous Wednesday. Irvin in that game threw the six shutout innings on just 73 pitches, 54 strikes versus 19 balls. These really were two entirely different outings for Irvin, but against the same team. This was Nats manager Davey Martinez during his postgame press conference on Wednesday night on Jake Irvin.
Yeah, he was off. He was off. His direction wasn't as sharp as it was when we played over there. So, look, he battled, you know, was hoping to get out of that inning, you know, give us five innings. Stretched them out as much as we could, you know, to try to save our bullpen for tomorrow. We got no days off, so we got a stretch here where we got to try to keep these guys fresh. So, but he went out there, battled. You know, he made some good pitches at times. He just didn't have any consistency today. He fell behind, and that's what got him.
All right, so Jake Irvin in this 11-2 loss to the Dodgers on Wednesday evening had a rough game, and the Nats bullpen had a rough game too. Four Nats relievers combined to allow five runs in 4 1/3 innings. Now, the first two Nats relievers in this game were fine. Derek Law tossed 1 1/3 scoreless innings with two swinging strikeouts. Dylan Floro tossed a scoreless top of the seventh, but then Tanner Rainey in the top of the eighth allowed two runs on a solo homer, two doubles, and a wild pitch. He also issued two walks. He in the inning threw 33 pitches, so another bad outing for Tanner Rainey as he tries to get back to where he was prior to Tommy John surgery in August 2022. And then Matt Barnes in the top of the ninth allowed three runs on a double and three singles. And yes, that Nats offense in this game, not good. Like I mentioned, 0 for the team's last 22. The Nats for the game had just two runs and just three hits. Did work three walks, but went 0 for 2 with runners in scoring position. A mere two at-bats with runners in scoring position the entire game. One of the Nats' hits was a home run. Nick Senzel, he is the Nats' starting third baseman and number eight batter, went 1-for-3 with a solo homer. Senzel in a Nats' two-run second had a two-out full-count solo home run to left center field to cut the Nats' deficit to 3-1. Joey Meneses, as the Nats' starting DH and number three batter, went 1-for-3 with a single and an RBI walk. Meneses in that Nats' two-run second drew a two-out bases-loaded walk to cut the Nats' deficit to 3-2. But that was it for the Nats' offense in this game. The Nats now are without outfielder Lane Thomas. They on Wednesday afternoon announced having placed Thomas on the 10-day injured list with a sprained left MCL that he suffered in the 4-1 loss to the Dodgers on Tuesday evening. The corresponding roster move was the Nats calling up not another outfielder, like, say, one of their top prospects, James Wood, but calling up an infielder and calling up that infielder back to the majors. The Nats on Wednesday afternoon announced having recalled infielder Trey Lipscomb from AAA Rochester. They just sent him back down to Rochester. The Nats on April 15th announced having optioned Lipscomb to AAA Rochester. He over 14 games and 55 plate appearances in his first major league regular season stint struggled. He had a batting average of just .224, an on-base percentage of just .278, and a slugging percentage of just .286. But Lipscomb is defensively versatile, and he can hit. He just did not hit at the major league level in his first regular season stint at the major league level. But Lipscomb now back in the majors. He on Wednesday evening was the Nats starting first baseman and number nine batter. He went 0-for-2 with a walk. Lipscomb in that Nats two-run second drew a two-out walk despite having been down in the count at 1.12. Game three for the Nats against the Dodgers Thursday afternoon at 4:05. Mackenzie Gore will be the Nats starting pitcher as the Nats try to avoid a three-game sweep. Well, a nice ending to a nice road trip for the Orioles. A 6-5 win at the Los Angeles Angels on Wednesday to win the series 2-1 and to conclude a 4-2 road trip. Now, the O's in this game did allow a 6-0 six-inning lead to get trimmed to 6-5 in the bottom of the ninth, but the O's held on for the win, and we're back, Joe Angel, in the win column.
And the Orioles again in the win column.
Yes, thank you, Joe. The win column. The O's now have won 11 of their last 15 games, and for this 2024 MLB regular season now are 16-8. A tremendous game for the Orioles' best player, Gunnar Henderson, the 2023 American League Rookie of the Year. He in this game did just about everything. Henderson was the Orioles' starting shortstop and number one batter. He got on base 5 times. He went 3-for-3 with a solo homer, a double, a two-run single, 2 hit-by-pitches, and a stolen base. Henderson in an Orioles one-run third had a leadoff home run to right center field for a 1-0 Orioles lead, giving him a team-leading 8 home runs in this regular season. Henderson in an Orioles 4-run sixth had a 2-run single to center field for a 5-0 Orioles lead. And Henderson for the final out in the bottom of the 8th made a sensational throw from shallow left field. He made a backhanded stab of a two-out full-count grounder off the bat of Taylor Ward, and then, while falling backward, fired a throw to first base for the out. What a play by Henderson. O's manager Brandon Hyde during his post-game session with reporters on Wednesday evening on Gunnar Henderson.
Everything's a huge play, defensive play there in the bottom of the eighth. I mean, it gets on first there, things change a little bit, and playing great defense, homers, steals, running the bases, hits, but awesome.
Yes, he is. The O's in this game were good offensively. They scored 6 runs. The O's totaled 9 hits, which were made up of a home run, 3 doubles, and 5 singles. The O's worked 7 walks. The O's did go 3-for-14 with runners in scoring position, but I mentioned the 7 walks. Colton Cowser had 3 of them. He is the Orioles starting left fielder and number 8 batter, 0-for-2, but with three walks. The Orioles starting pitcher for this game was Dean Kramer. Now, Kramer has been up and down so far this regular season, but he in this game was quite good. Now, he lasted for just 5 1/3 innings. He officially allowed 2 runs in 5 1/3 innings, but with 10 strikeouts versus 1 walk. Yeah, 10 strikeouts in just 5 1/3 innings. Kramer gave up just 3 hits, which were a solo homer and 2 singles. And the homer and one of the singles came over the final 2 batters he faced. He gave up a 1-out solo homer by the great Mike Trout on a bomb to left field in what ended up being a 3-run Angel 6. Kramer, over his 5 1/3 innings, threw 101 pitches, 66 strikes versus 35 balls. Hey, when you rack up 10 strikeouts, you are going to throw a good number of pitches. Brandon Hyde, during his post-game session with reporters on Wednesday evening on Dean Kramer.
Dean threw so well. He just threw a lot of pitches, unfortunately. And I know he was probably a little tired there in the sixth, around the 100-pitch mark, and he gave up the homer to Trout and then the base hit. But for the first 5 innings, he was absolutely outstanding.
Yeah, the second run that was charged to Dean Kramer came on a 1-out opposite field, a 2-run homer by Taylor Ward to right center field in that Angels 3-run 6 on the very first pitch that was thrown by reliever Jacob Webb, as the Orioles bullpen was not good. The bullpen is not doing so well right now. 4 relievers in this 6-5 win at the Angels on Wednesday combined to allow 3 runs in 3 2/3 innings, but also with 6 strikeouts. But Jacob Webb, he officially allowed 1 run in 1 inning. He faced 4 batters and got 3 outs. But as mentioned, he on the very first pitch that he threw gave up that 1-out opposite field 2-run homer by Taylor Ward to right center field in the Angels 3-run 6. Yadier Cano allowed 1 run in 1 inning. He faced 4 batters and got 3 outs. He, in the bottom of the 8th, gave up a leadoff first pitch homer by the Angels number 9 batter, Zach Neto, to left field to cut the Orioles lead to 6-4. Danny Coulomb in the bottom of the 8th faced 2 batters and got 2 outs. And Craig Kimbrell allowed a run in the bottom of the 9th, but got the save. Now, the run was due in large part to a 2-base throwing error by second baseman Jorge Mateo on a leadoff infield single by former Nationals infielder A-Ray Adrianza. Kimbrell did then issue a 2-out walk of Joe Adell, but Adell was thrown out by catcher James McCann in an attempted steal of second base to end the game. Now, it sure looked like Adell was safe at second base, but Angels manager Ron Washington's challenge of the play was not successful. This after a lengthy replay review. Here was Brandon Hyde during his post-game session with reporters on Wednesday evening on what he was thinking during that lengthy replay review.
I think it could have gone either way. I was hoping for a stance, but unbelievable throw by Mac there. A huge play. And, we had a 6-0 lead and unfortunately let him back into it and made it really tough on ourselves. And unfortunately had to pitch Cano and Kimbrell there, but fortunately we held on.
Yes, fortunately. And the fact that Brandon Hyde right there said that the replay review could have gone either way tells you that he knows that the O's got away with one there. No game for the O's on Thursday. Next up for them is a 3-game series against the Oakland A's at Oriole Park at Camden Yards. Game one, Friday night at 7:05. The Orioles ace, Corbin Burnes, will be the team's starting pitcher. Game two, Saturday afternoon at 4:05. The former member of the A's, Cole Irvin, will be the Orioles starting pitcher. And game three, Sunday afternoon at 1:35, Albert Suarez will be the Orioles starting pitcher. And that will do it for you and me for now. Keep the feedback coming. You can hit me up on X at Al Galdi. You can email me the Al Galdi podcast at yahoo.com. Friday show, episode 814. We'll have much more on the Commanders' in-depth reaction to and analysis of whatever they do with their number 2 overall pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, for which the first round is on Thursday night. Friday's show, a most special show. And also on Friday's show, I'll talk Nationals. The Nats are home to the Los Angeles Dodgers Thursday afternoon at 4:05 for Game 3 of a 3-game series. Have a great rest of your Thursday, and I will talk to you on Friday.
Now I got to find a new quarterback.